I guess the series here for the month of July 2008, is the mighty works of Christ and the Holy Spirit. The mighty works of Christ and the Holy Spirit. And we're going to be talking about the blood of Jesus Christ in just a little while. But in beginning here tonight, let's open up to Mark chapter 3 if you have a Bible. And I'm going to be reading to you from verses 31 through 35. It says, "Then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived. Standing outside, they sent someone in to call him." Verse 32, "A crowd was sitting around him, and they told him, 'Your mother and brothers are outside looking for you.' 'Who are my mother and my brothers?' he asked. Then he looked at those seated in a circle around him and said, 'Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother.'" Here's the key verse, guys. Verse 35. "Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother." So the question tonight is this: what is God's will? What is God's will? This gospel was written by Mark, who had associations with Peter, one of the disciples of Jesus. And you know, when Peter and Mark talked, I'm sure that they talked about what the will of God was. And what does Peter write to us about God's will in 2 Peter 3:9? This is what Peter writes. Trying to discover here what the will of God is. It's so simple. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. It says, "The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." He is patient with you, not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. Friends, what is the will of God that Jesus is talking about in Mark 3, verse 35? What is God's will? God's will is that none would perish, but that all would come to repentance. Amen. What is repentance? Repentance is changing your mind from going your own way, turning from your way and going God's way. Amen. Saying, "God, I want to accept your Son, Jesus Christ, as my Savior and my Lord." That's God's will. And guess what, friend? You may have accepted Jesus Christ in the past, and now you're in the family of God. You may have never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, and tonight, later on, you'll have the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Do you know when you accept Jesus as your Savior, guess what? You become part of the family of God. You become related to Jesus when Jesus comes into your life. When Jesus comes into your heart, you become related to Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
That's why Jesus says in Mark 4, 35, "Whoever does God's will," which is to repent from going your way to going God's way, and saying, "Jesus, be my Savior," whoever does God's will in that sense then becomes a brother, a sister of Jesus, one who is related to Jesus. Does that make sense? See, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, you are not part of the family of God. But it's when you accept Jesus as Savior that the miracle of becoming part of God's family happens in your life. Does that make sense? All right. You know, when you accepted Christ as Savior, His blood covered your entire being. Let's look at Ephesians 2, verse 13. Ephesians 2, verse 13, talking about the blood of Jesus Christ. Remember, without Christ, you are separated from God. You're separated from Jesus. You're in a state of sin. But Paul writes to the Ephesians, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away from God have been brought near through the blood of Christ." And remember, when you accept Christ, His blood covers your life. You become part of the family of God. You become related to Jesus. Now let's talk about the Old Testament system of sacrifices for just a minute. You know, God required the shedding of blood for the covering over of sins in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the priest would kill an animal, and the animal's blood would be shed. But the blood of those animals was imperfect. It only covered over sins for a specific group of people at a specific time. This priest had to continually sacrifice animals in the Old Testament. It was imperfect blood. Now, how many of us here know what whiteout is? Anybody here ever use whiteout in school? Maybe writing a paper? You're having to go over a word, so you write a word down, right? And it's not the word you wanted to write, so you take a little bit of whiteout, and you cover over that word, right?
Yep.
The blood of animals in the Old Testament was like that whiteout. It only covered over sins. On the other hand, Jesus Christ is the perfect Lamb of God. And He shed His precious blood 2,000 years ago once and for all people, for all sins, and for all times. Jesus Christ is the perfect sacrifice, and He shed His precious blood once and for all people of all times. You see, the blood of Jesus Christ did not cover over your sin. You might be thinking tonight, it didn't cover over my sin. What did it do? The blood of Jesus, friends, completely erased your sin in the heart and in the mind of Almighty God. You see, say that you accepted Jesus Christ a year ago. When you accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, all of the sins that you committed up until that point were forgotten in the heart and in the mind of God. They were erased in the heart and in the mind of God. You see, the blood of Jesus Christ is like the eraser on the back of a pencil. You can write a word with a pencil, right? And if you want to get rid of that word, what do? You flip over the pencil, right? And you erase the word. Completely eliminates the word. That's what the blood of Jesus Christ does, friends. It erases our sins in the heart and in the mind of Almighty God. And you know, when you accepted Jesus Christ, as I said, as Lord and Savior, all of your sins up until that point were forgotten and erased in God's heart. They were forgiven by God. But guess what? As you go about your daily walk, your Christian walk, you're going to mess up, right? There may be a sin that tonight you're struggling with, friends. There may be something, a stronghold, a bondage that you're overcoming. Maybe alcoholism. Maybe drugs. Maybe looking at things with your eyes that are not right to look at. Something that you're trying to overcome. And you know what? You're like, God, I want to overcome this sin. And then you slip back into that sin. You know what? God understands. What does the Word of God say in 1 John 1:9? When we sin, if we confess our sins to God, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So when you slip up, when you mess up, when you fall back into that sin, when the sin nature tries to pop its ugly head in your life, just say, God, I am sorry. I repent. I'm trying to live godly. And God says, you know what, my son, my daughter, that sin is erased. It's forgiven by me. All you've got to do is confess it. Amen?
Amen?
Let's look at what Peter writes about the blood of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:18. 1 Peter 1:18. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. In other words, he's saying silver and gold cannot redeem you from the kingdom of darkness, from the empty way of life. There is only one thing that can redeem you from the empty way of life. It's the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the spotless Lamb of God. You know, at one time, friend, we were captive to the kingdom of darkness. How many here were captive to the kingdom of darkness at one time? Doing the things of the world, talking like the world, thinking like the world, speaking like the world, and loving it. How many of us were captive to the world system at one time? All of us, right? What did the blood of Jesus Christ do? It redeemed us from the world's sins, from the thing that had you down, from the stronghold in your life. What does it mean to redeem? What does it mean to redeem? To redeem means to buy back from, to buy out of. At one time, we were stuck in the kingdom of darkness, right? But when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you were bought out of the kingdom of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God. Amen. And as I said, maybe you've never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and maybe you're still stuck in the world's ways. Tonight, God wants to redeem you by the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. He wants to buy you out of the empty way of life. He wants to buy you out of the world's ways into His kingdom of freedom and liberty. Amen. Does that make sense?
Yes.
There is power in the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, you may have done some really bad things in the past. And maybe the devil tries to bring those things up to your mind. You know what you tell him? Satan, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you by the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus has washed away all of my past sins. So I rebuke you in Jesus' name. You've got to flee from my life. You know, one thing the devil hates is the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus Christ. Who is he? The devil is a liar and the author of all lies. He is the accuser. Revelation 12:11. He tries to accuse us. He tries to bring our past up. But when he does it, what will you do? Call on the blood of Jesus Christ, right? Amen. Say it with me tonight. Say, when the devil tries to bring up my past, I am going to call on the blood of Jesus Christ. And the devil will have to flee. In Jesus' name. You know, His blood will deliver you from whatever is holding you down in your life right now. I know I just quoted the scripture, but I'd like to turn to Revelation 12, verse 11. And it says this: they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. That's it. Whatever is trying to hold you down, friend, whatever stronghold is trying to suck you back in, whenever it tries to do it, maybe it's alcohol, maybe it's smoking, maybe it's a drug addiction, maybe it's looking at something that's not right, maybe it's a wrong relationship. And you find yourself being sucked back into it and slipping back into it. When that happens, call on the name of Jesus. Call on the blood of Jesus Christ. And He will rescue your soul. He will deliver you. He will free you from the bondage of sin. Think about it this way. This power in the blood of Jesus Christ, the precious blood of Jesus. Think about it this way. Say that you're on a street one day, and say one of your relatives, maybe a brother, happens to be a police officer, and he happens to be walking down the other side of the road. Say you're on this side of the street here, and somebody here is trying to harm you, and your brother is on the other side of the road, and you know he's a police officer, he's undercover. and this person tries to harm you, and let's say your brother's name is Tony, you call out and say, Tony, help me. So Tony runs across the street from there to where you're at. He pulls out his badge to your attacker and says, police officer, freeze. And the attacker is paralyzed. He puts his hands up or he flees. There's power in that, right? There's authority in this relative of yours who is a police officer, right? You call his name and the attacker is stopped. Well, friends, the blood of Jesus Christ is more powerful than any police officer. It has got more authority than any cop. When the devil tries to attack you, bring up your past. He tries to suck you back into your old way of life. Call on the blood of Jesus Christ and you will be set free. Does that make sense? There's power in the blood of Jesus. Why did Jesus appear on this earth? Why did Jesus come to this earth? 1 John 3:8. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. If you read this scripture in context, if you read 1 John 3 verses 1 through 10, what is the devil's work that John is trying to write about? The devil's work is the grip of sin. So the reason Jesus appeared on this earth was to destroy the devil's work. The reason he appeared was to destroy the grip of sin over your life by his shed blood at Calvary 2,000 years ago. That's why he appeared. And so friend, whenever you get into a sticky situation, whenever you get weak, and feel that you're going to sin, call on Jesus, call on the blood of Christ. You know, Jesus Christ wants to be more than just your Savior. As I said, when you accepted Him as Savior, His blood covered your life.
That's right.
And you can plead the blood of Jesus. You can call on the blood of Jesus when you need deliverance. But Jesus wants to be more than just Savior. Jesus Christ wants to be your Lord. What does Lord mean? Lord means ruler. It means master. It means the one in full charge of your life. How many here work for somebody? You have a boss. 3 hours a day, 4 hours a day, maybe 5 hours a day, maybe 8 hours a day. Well, for those hours that you work for that boss, guess what? He is the one in charge of you for those hours. You've got to submit to Him while you're working for Him. Jesus Christ wants to be boss over every part of your life. He wants to be the one in charge over every area of your life. He wants to be the one in charge of the thoughts that you think. Jesus Christ wants to be in charge of your spirit. Jesus Christ wants to be in charge of what you do with your body. Is what you're doing with your body pleasing to Jesus Christ?
Amen.
Is what you're doing with your body godly? Jesus Christ wants to be the one in charge of your relationships. He wants you to have godly, Christ-centered relationships. He wants us to submit to Him, to surrender to Him in every part of our lives. You know, think of your body, think of your life like an automobile, like a car. You know, right now, friend, you may be the one in the driver's seat of your life. Maybe liking the control of that wheel. You just like having control of your life. Some people think that way. You know, this is my life, this is my body, I do with it what I want. But not as a Christ follower. As a Christ follower, our attitude has got to be different. What's our attitude to be like? We're to say, Jesus, this is my life. Jesus, you sit in the driver's seat of my life and take control of the wheel. Jesus, you're in charge. I'm submitted to you. I'm surrendered to you. Do with my life as you please. That's a person, that's an attitude that makes Jesus Christ Lord. Now, friends, don't misunderstand me. Making Jesus Christ Lord is not an instant process. When you accepted Jesus as Savior, yes, instantly He became your Savior. His blood covered your life. You were forgiven of all your sins. But making Jesus Lord is a lifelong process. It's a lifelong process. It takes time to put Jesus in charge of every part of your life, in charge of the thoughts that you think, in charge of what you do with your body, in charge of your relationships, in charge of your spirit. But guess what? If you pray to Him and ask Him for His grace and His strength, He'll give you the grace and the strength to surrender to Him, to submit to His lordship over your life. You know, a great minister once said, becoming a Christian is the work of a moment. Being a Christian is the work of a lifetime. How do you be a Christian, if you would? By making Jesus Christ your Lord, the one in full charge of your life. He loves you so very much.